see each of you that are here. I see a number from different congregations. We're glad to see you. Thank you for being here to encourage us in the work that's here. And we appreciate that so very, very much. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, we're really glad that you've come. Hope you brought your Bibles, that you'll turn with us, study with us as we look at God's Word. And certainly, if you have any questions about anything that we might teach, we certainly would encourage you to talk to me about that. We're glad to entertain any question or comment that you might have. I'm here to talk about the Word of God. I'm not here to give you my opinions or my think-so, but simply what God has to say. And I hope that you will see that we're talking from the Bible. And we hope and trust that you will believe the Bible. You will believe God's Word. And obey it before it's too late. You all have been so very kind to me this week. I appreciate that. I've been royally fed every night. I told Sister Kirkendall she just needed to have water tomorrow night or something. Wayne Green. But been so kind, all of you. Been so very kind. And I thank you for all of you that have been so hospitable. I appreciate that so very, very much. You've been kind. And your encouragement to me and the lessons have been presented, and I thank you for that. And you've been a good audience, and you've listened extremely well. I appreciate that so very much. And I know that especially all the younger couples with children, you've come, and I appreciate you coming. And I know that you have very, very busy schedules, lots of little things you could have been doing, but you come here worship the Lord and study His Word, and that's a great encouragement to me. And all of you that have been here, we appreciate your coming so very, very much. We've been talking about excellence. Serving everything that we do, as unto the Lord, not unto men. I hope that the lessons that have been chosen will be helpful to you and encouraging to you. Tonight's lesson, we're going to talk about honoring God daily. And I think this is an important topic for all of us. Whatever we do, we need to give honor and glory to God. And sometimes the way we live and sometimes what we say, we do not honor God. We dishonor Him. But I'd like for us to study that topic tonight, and I hope that you brought your Bibles and you'll study with us. We'll be reading a number of passages tonight. So I hope that you will pay close attention. This thing cut down on you. Don't you know? Let's keep on. Alright, I'll just keep on. Alright. First thing I want to look at is Matthew 6 and verse 9. This is a statement that Jesus, in teaching how to pray, He said in that prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I think we hear pretty regularly people saying that particular phrase. The word hallowed means to make holy or to sanctify. The key to that will be the honor and respect and reverence that we'll be talking about tonight that we should show our God in our daily lives. Another passage or two that might help. In Isaiah 29, the text says, "They will sanctify my name and will stand in awe of the God of Israel." In the book of Psalms 34, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Psalms 34, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." I meant to mention this earlier. Some of you are having a little bit of a problem keeping up with me and taking notes. I apologize for that. I come here to fill your bucket up, so I do go kind of fast at times, but you are more than welcome to the PowerPoint. You can get an electronic copy, or you can get a hard copy. They're all so far on the computer. Y'all keeping those on the computer back there?
So if you have a thumb drive or something, they're asking those
young men, and they will make your copy if you need the notes. Respect and reverence. Honor. Honoring God, respecting God, reverencing God. When we look at those words, it's important for us to understand the word respect. The word respect is a word that means fear or terror. It originally had to do with being extremely frightened about something and running off. It comes to mean the idea of reverence unto God. To appreciate or admire or honor are synonyms. An antonym of respect would be disregard for dishonor. Now, I think all of these words we're quite familiar with, and we understand that. I want to show you a few passages how this word is used in its text. In the book of Acts, chapter 9 and verse 31, we see an example of this idea of respect. Acts 9, verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Did you see that? Fear of the Lord? That's our word respect. It has to do with this terror, this reverence, this appreciation, this admiration for God. A second passage that we can look at, in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 18, we see the negative aspect of this. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 18, Paul says, quoting from the scripture, he says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. So what is he quoting? What is he saying? There is no appreciation, no admiration. There is no reverence for God. Alright? We find in the text of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul in verse 10 talks about that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Remember that text? Verse 11 says, therefore, knowing the fear or the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. As a teacher, I regularly try to put the fear of the Lord in people. And it's appropriate. We should fear the Lord. We should appreciate and respect Him. In Philippians 2, verse 12, that's the familiar text about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is a serious thing to respect and honor God. I'll give you an illustration. If you're a deer hunter and you're setting up in a deer stand, you've got your rifle, or maybe it's black powder, maybe it's bull season, but you're setting in your deer stand right here in North Alabama, and you're waiting and being very quiet and patient for that trophy to come by. And all of a sudden, rather than a trophy deer, you see a huge grizzly bear. And you're thinking, wait a minute, grizzly bears are not in North Alabama. But you're familiar enough with bears, and you see that bear, and it's not black. It's brown, and it is huge. And it's coming right towards your deer stand. You're sitting there in that deer stand, and you're thinking, what am I going to do now? If I shoot him, I'll just make him mad. I've got a knife. I think I'll wait if he comes down here, and I'll just jump out of the tree and grab him by the ears and cut his throat. Then you think again about that, and you think, that's probably not the best idea. Why? Because you fear that bear. You respect that bear. You appreciate that bear. And if he comes to the stand and he looks like he's going to come up the stand, now you're thinking, what am I going to do now? And if you jump out of the stand, you realize that a grizzly can outrun you. And probably the jump out of the stand, you'll break both legs anyway. You can't climb up any higher. What are you going to do? You are probably, at this point, sweating profusely. And you are very nervous as to what that bear is going to do. Do you understand what the word respect means? Do you respect God? It's not just that we fear Him, but we appreciate Him because we know how powerful He is. We know what He can do. The word reverence is very much akin to that word respect. And it is defined as piety or godly fear. Fear of God, respect. High regard, great respect. Appreciate. An antonym of this particular word, which is a different word, is to scorn or to not take seriously. A couple of examples of this in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. There's a statement made about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. In the days of His flesh, when He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death and who was heard because of His piety. The New American Standard Version says, godly fear. You see, Jesus Christ Himself had a great respect for His Father. He reverenced His Father. He took seriously His Father. Another passage is in the same book, chapter 11, verse 7. And this is in regards to Noah. And the text says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and he became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Have you ever noticed that little word there? That he prepared in reverence? What does that mean? When God told Noah to build an ark, and when God told Noah what he was going to do to this earth, Noah respected what God said. Noah appreciated what he said. And he took seriously what God said. Why did Noah build the ark? Because God said to him. God told him to. He took seriously that God was going to destroy the earth. Now, let's illustrate this word. We don't have any fine china, anything of true value, other than it was my mother's or my grandmother's, that sort of thing. And those sorts of things are priceless. Not to anybody else, but to you personally. So we have these things that belong to my mother, my grandparents. My wife has things that was her mother's, her grandparents. You all got those things too, right? Now I've got three grandsons. And I love those little guys. But when they come over, I'm not going to go in there and get one of those pieces and hand them to my littlest one, who is two. He is Mr. Destructo. And hand him one of these priceless pieces. Because I know what's going to happen in probably less than 30 seconds. He's going to break it. I appreciate this piece. And so we have it placed in areas where he can't get it. And if we see him getting near that, we protect. We get him away. This word, reverence, has to do with our respecting God and appreciating who he is. Now we'll talk more about this in just a moment. But this produces something. This produces thankfulness. Gratitude. Because the preciousness and the value of God with his love and his grace and his mercy are priceless. So if I don't thank God, if I don't have gratitude for God, then I'm not reverencing God. Do you understand that? So these two words, respect and reverence, is all wrapped around the concept of honor. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 26, and if you have your Old Testament Bible, if you might want to turn there with me, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, and verse 26, and I'm just going to read one verse. You can take the time later and go back and read the context. But Ezekiel, speaking of Judah and their sins, here specifically talks about her priests. Verse 26, Ezekiel 22. Her priests have done violence to my law. Number one. Number two, have profaned my holy things. The word profane means to pollute or to defile. Third, they have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. Number four, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. Five, and they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths. Six, and I am profane among them. Now that's a great text right there just to preach from. That's an hour sermon right there. Lots of good stuff. But what I want to pull out of that is noticing in this text, the holy things of God. The word holy means to be set apart or separated for God. So the holy things that belong to God are set apart for God. Follow me? And in this particular text, there are things that are listed that honor God. And the priests have completely profaned all of those things. They were refusing to have religious awe and reverence for God or anything that he stood for or anything that was to be considered holy. Application. In the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, John said that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now we understand from the New Testament that the Lord's Day is the first day of the week when we come together to worship Him. So whose day is it? The Lord's Day. When we come together, what are we coming together to do? To honor God. to respect God, to reverence God. It is a really big deal. The Bible doesn't define it that way, but Lowell Saleem translation for the 21st century. It is a really big deal when we come together on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, to reverence, respect, and honor God. So if we just disrespected or did not value or appreciate the Lord's Day, what would we do? We just wouldn't go to church. We wouldn't worship God. We treat this like any other. It's just a normal day. What would we be guilty of doing? Defiling the holy thing of God. You see that? We think about the idea of worship itself. In Acts 2 and verse 42, the first disciples, they continued steadfastly. Some versions say, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching or doctrine, to prayers, to fellowship. In that particular passage, it is made clear that when they, the first day, that they became members of the body of Jesus Christ. Remember verse 47? And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Who are these people? These people are the holy people of God. What were they doing that day when they were baptized into Jesus Christ? About 3,000 of them. They were worshiping God. In the book of Psalms, chapter 2, in verse 11, Psalms chapter 2 and verse 11, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. How do you worship the Lord? Here's a very broad stroke of generalization. Sometimes, when we, on the Lord's Day, come to reverence and honor God, here's the broad stroke, we do everything but worship God. We are too involved in too many things sometimes, and we're distracted by too many things. Back in the day when I used to lead the singing, you know what I was concerned about during worship? Make sure I got the right pitch, make sure I got the right timing, make sure I didn't let the song drag, kept it going, you know. And I'm thinking about all of that. You know what I find myself doing? Singing 3, 4, or 5 songs. And at the end, if I seriously ask myself, what did I sing? Was I playing the instrument of the heart in praise to God? The answer would have to be, no, I didn't. What did I do? I sang the do, re, mi's, and I got the sharps, and I got the 3, 4, but the rest of it was... You been there and done that, guys? I'll tell you something I struggle with. Now, I sat there on the front row, and I understand the seriousness of getting up before people and telling you the Word of God. I'm going to answer to God for what I say. If I teach error, I've done wrong. You listen to error and you practice error. You've done wrong. And I've been party to that. I understand and appreciate with godly fear every time I teach the Word of God. Whether it's 10th grade at Athens Bible School, or it's here worshiping on the Lord's Day. But you know what I find myself doing sometimes? I'm trying to think right before I get up and preach, while we're singing, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love... Rather than sing in spirit and truth, what am I thinking about? Now when I get to that Acts passage, okay, I need to make sure I make this point. I'm thinking about how I'm going to preach the lesson. And it is easy for any of us
Bible class teachers, whoever we are, our mind is someplace else. And we are worshiping God. I remember an old preacher saying, if we're not careful, our worship does not get above the sea. It does not come to our Lord because we have not reverence. The text also said, and rejoice with trembling. Isn't that kind of an oxymoron? That you rejoice with trembling? Let's sing, as the old brother used to say, from your toe bones. Just let her rip. Sing out from the heart. Praise God. Right? Sing, but tremble. Knowing who you are addressing. You are addressing the Creator of all things. Reverence Him. Respect Him. Appreciate Him. Sing great joy in your heart. Because He loves us. And He's given us grace and mercy and forgiveness. Did you know that worshiping the Lord is pretty complicated? And yet sometimes I think we come in and just plop down. We sing a verse or two. We pray a little bit. And we may listen a time or two to the preacher. When the amen is said, bam, we're out of here. We're gone. We're in the car. And praise the Lord, we got that over with. I would encourage all of us to reconsider your hearts. It is a serious matter to worship your God. Take it seriously. Well, so you mean we got to stand here with sad faces? No, remember the text? Rejoice, tremble, but appreciate who you are addressing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul was so thankful to those brethren, for those brethren, because when he preached the word of God to them, they did not receive it as men, as words of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. Music to a preacher's ear. Hearing pages of the Bible turn. Electronics is about to steal that. Can't hear electronic turn. But hearing the pages of God's Word turn and people looking at the Bible, making sure that what's being said is from the book, in the book, by the book. We all need to do that. I'm human. I make errors. I try not to do that, but I make mistakes. We need to make sure that we appreciate the Word of God. And we love it so much that when we read the Word of God, you remember this. That is God talking to you. When I was growing up, my father was a strict disciplinarian. My mother was a strict disciplinarian. I was the oldest child. I got beat regularly. Coming in and going. One thing I learned really early, especially my father, if he was talking to me, if my eyes were not in his eyes, and I was looking away, then God saved me if I ever rolled my eye one time at him. I understood from an early age, when he spoke in the early days, my dad was gone. When he spoke, I had to listen. I'm not sure we have that fear today. Because if someone reads the Word of God and says, this is what the Word of God says, it's almost as if, who cares? Christ came here. Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. We are His subjects in this great kingdom. And in this great text, the writer of Hebrews makes it very clear as to how we are to appreciate, respect, honor God and His kingdom, because it is a holy thing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, thankfulness,
by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe.
That word reverence that is used here, the negative of it is used in a couple of texts. You remember the book of Revelation when it said all the cowardly, and it lists those in with the liars and so forth, shall not inherit or shall burn like fire, cowardly. Some versions have the word timid. Some versions have the word afraid. It's the same word that is used back when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and the storm came. And they cried out, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? You remember what the Lord said to them? Why are you so timid? Why are you so cowardly? Cowardly, in a negative way, is that you have no faith, no respect, no appreciation whatsoever. Here he says, in regards to the kingdom, show gratitude and offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Here is the basis by which we, as God's people in His kingdom, show great gratitude. We appreciate with respect His holy thing. Well, I think most of us understand that. But here's our word. In the parable in Luke 18 of the wicked judge, here's the world we live in. The world we live in, verse 2, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And you go home and read the rest of the parable. I'm just pulling that out to simply illustrate a point. Again, the text says, and the man said of himself, I do not fear God nor respect man. Does that sound familiar today? Many of our rulers have zero respect for God. Do you wonder why they have no respect for us? Honoring God is first and primary lesson number one in order to appreciate your neighbor. If you don't respect God, you are never going to respect anybody else. We learn to respect God and honor God, then we can learn how to appreciate and respect one another. So when we consider this, all rulers and every soul is going to be judged for how we respect and honor God and how we respect and honor one another. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, I mentioned this a moment ago. Notice again the text. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, right? Remember that? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If I was to say to you, okay, it's 11, according to that big Ben back there, it's 11 minutes till 8. If I said to you, I know something special. Jesus Christ is coming at 8 o'clock. Now, I don't know that. And the Lord has not spoken to me that. We're pretending. So pretend a minute. He's coming in 11 minutes. How do you feel right now? Are you happy and excited? The Lord is coming in 11 minutes. Yes! I'm excited. This is great. We get to go to heaven. 11 minutes. Is that the way you're feeling? God bless you if you are. Or are you sitting there thinking, ruh-roh. 11 minutes? Are you kidding me? I'm not ready. How are you feeling now? Fearful. Remember the original definition of the word respect? Is to be in terror and to run away. Where are you going to run to? When Jesus Christ comes again, where are you going to go? You can't run from His presence. You have every right to be fearful. Because He's coming. Do you know why we have gospel meetings? Do you know why we preach and teach God's Word? We're trying to get people to have an honor and respect and reverence for God. You need to fear Him. You need to respect Him. How? By not profaning Him. By not speaking in any way against Him. And honoring those things that are holy to Him. And you live your life in such a way that you can be like John. Come, Lord Jesus, come. He was ready. Paul said, I've fought the fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. He was ready to go. A person that is ready to go in 10 minutes respects God. Fears God. And appreciates God. You live your life that way. In 10 minutes, what you do at work and what you need to do tomorrow is not going to matter. The ball game that you're going to play on Friday night, there's not going to be a ball game on Friday night. It won't matter. All of those mortgages that we owe for, that won't matter either. Because it's all going to be burned up. Do we even know how to fear the Lord? When Paul preached the word one time to a king, every character's word. If the Lord is coming in 9 minutes, did you say something today you shouldn't have said? Let's read that text. Matthew chapter 12. Listen to what our Lord said. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 35. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless, thoughtless, profitless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Gosh. Lord, Lord. Golly. Oh my God. Is that your language? You are profaning that which is holy. You're going to give an account for that. Every word. You're not answerable to me. You're answerable to God, who you should fear and respect. You do remember that the Jews would not pronounce Jehovah or Yahweh for fear of mispronouncing and being disrespectful to God and saying His name. That's how much respect they have. And what do? We filth and foul and God this and Jesus that. And what are we doing? We're profaning holy things. And we will answer for that. How we help others. We talked a little bit about that last night. To me, one of the most difficult passages to read, for me personally, is Matthew 25. Read it with me, will you? Verse 31. 7 minutes before the Lord comes. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And the righteous will answer Him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The King will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." What's our topic tonight? Honor God. Daily. Did you ever stop to consider that one of the ways you honor God daily is how you treat His people? The rest of the text says, verse 41, "Then He will also say to those on His left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they themselves will also answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?' And He will answer them, saying, 'Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." In 4 minutes, you'll stand before the great I Am and give an account of how you have honored God. One of the things that we will be judged for is how we've treated one another in our time of need. Great passage to sum up with is in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, 36 through 40. Remember that one? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit." Remember that one? And the second is like a tool. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus would say, upon these two laws is all of the law and the prophets. This is the summation of what God wants you to do. Love Him. Did you know you can't really love God without respecting Him? Do you know you can't really respect God until you love Him? And if you really love God and you respect God, you'll love and respect His people. Honoring God daily. In 2 minutes, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We shall all give an account of every deed done in God. Do you respect God? Have you honored God? Do you appreciate God? Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. It's one thing to say, "Praise the Lord." And it's another complete thing to live it. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's not about a formula of what you say. It is the essence of how you live your life. You dare not say, "Hallowed be thy name. Great is your name. I respect and reverence you and then go and live like the devil. Those words mean nothing. One minute. Are you afraid to meet the Lord in 1 minute? If you are, you need to do something about that tonight. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade you. My job as a preacher and as a teacher is to persuade you and myself to start getting serious about the way of God. Won't you come, sister?